What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome to the Katie Helper Show. This episode is a free bonus. Listeners may have heard that Chris Matthews hypothesized that Bernie Sanders wouldn't help someone if he passed them on the side of the road. It was on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
My latest question is this one. It's sort of like the question pollsters ask. Who cares about people like you? And my question is a little more direct than that. Suppose you're lying on a road hurt. Maybe you've had something happen to you. You fainted, whatever happened. Which of the candidates would stop their car and get out and help you? Which of them? Ask yourself that question, and you got your candidate, I think. Because I'm not sure about all of them. I've been polling this sort of in. You know, I think Biden wins that one pretty easily. I think Elizabeth maybe. I don't think Bernie wins it. Do you? Honestly? Think Bernie would stop and help you? I'm not sure.
Well.
I know these are tough questions. They cut to the gut, but they do. They are the question you got to ask about. Will this person help me when I need them? Because the rest is BS. It's all speech writing.
Okay, so I'll say yeah. I think Bernie would help me.
You're covering yourself, Joe. You're covering yourself.
This is something that Matt Taibbi and I actually discussed on Useful Idiots. Anyway, the irony is this is a pretty off observation, off insight, off inference, even for Chris Matthews. And I was reminded that not only would Sanders stop for someone if they were injured or on the side of the street, but he has done so. And I actually interviewed this woman named Amy Corrado, who 2 years ago was crossing the street and Sanders yelled at her to get out of the way. I meant to release it and I didn't, and it's a pretty timeless story, but it's even more relevant given the claims made by Chris Matthews that Sanders would, I don't know, let someone die on the side of the road. This is, of course, nothing compared to Chris Matthews' comment that Bernie Sanders becomes the president, he very likely could find himself executed in Central Park.
I have my own views of the word socialist, and I'll be glad to tell them, share them with you in private. And they go back to the early 1950s. I have an attitude about them. I remember the Cold War. I have an attitude towards Castro. I believe if Castro and the Reds had won the Cold War, there would have been executions in Central Park, and I might have been one of the ones getting executed. And certain other people would be there cheering, okay? So I have a problem with people who took the other side. I don't know who Bernie supports over these years. I don't know what he means by social. 1 week it's Denmark. We're going to be like Denmark. Okay, that's harmless. That's basically a capitalist country with a lot of good social welfare programs. Denmark is harmless.
He's pretty clearly in the Denmark category, yeah.
Are you sure? How do you know? Did he tell you that?
Well, I mean, that's what he says, and that's what his agenda calls for, right? He's not calling for any.
Let's figure that one out.
Well, we haven't seen a campaign yet where video of him praising the other version of Castro has been used.
Well, but
will be used.
That's a question
we haven't seen how that plays.
Of how Tander, what the effect that has.
Well, what does he think of Castro? That's a great question. What did you think of Fidelismo? We all thought he was great when he first, I thought he was cheering like mad for him went in. And then he became a communist and started shooting every one of his enemies.
Okay, hold those thoughts on the Cuban Revolution.
So that's just Chris Matthews being Chris Matthews. And that would make an entire episode in itself. Anyway, so this is an interview that I did with my former co-host, Gabe Pacheco. You'll hear his familiar voice. He's has his own new podcast also called Eat, Pray, Judge. You'll also hear Bernie Sanders pushing back against Andrea Mitchell, and his arguments are very relevant. They're as relevant as they were before, and the arguments against him claiming he's some kind of divider are as irrelevant and meaningless and weak as they were then. So a lot to come full circle around. The irony is not only would Bernie Sanders help someone on the side of the road, but he's helped people and saved people's lives before, not just through his policies, which, let's face it, he's saved more people's lives. I don't care. Call me, say it's hyperbole. Call me an exaggerator. He's definitely saved people's lives through the policies he's fought for. You fight to increase minimum wage, you're saving people's lives. They have more money. They go to the doctor. He happened to exactly help someone or prevent someone from being injured in the road. Also, he always stops what he's saying, as you'll see in this episode, to help people, to make sure they're okay. Because he talks so much, there's so many people that some people are bound to faint. Stand by for my interview with Cori Bush. Also, an interview with Kate Willett. And of course, support The Katie Helper Show by going to patreon.com/The Katie Helper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Helper Show. And also rate and review the show on iTunes. So I'm going to be speaking to a woman who had her life saved by Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I think a lot of us have had our lives saved on some level by Bernie Sanders, but she did quite literally. You know, Bernie Sanders, he does a lot of like acts of courage and menschiness. And, you know, he doesn't get the Cory Booker treatment. Like Cory Booker, every time he like does something, I feel like if he holds the door open for someone, he gets attention. And I think maybe he like shovels people snow a lot.
This former Rhodes Scholar and football All-American has spent days shoveling people out of snowstorms.
Well, Cory Booker pulled a, what was it, a child or a woman out of a burning building.
Yeah. It may have been a cat.
He ran into the burning building and up the stairs. In the kitchen, he saw flames and explosions. And on the other side of those flames, he heard the screams of his friend.
Yeah, he did save a person.
I'm glad we got that all cleared up.
I know. Who knows? Though? Maybe he's not even, maybe it was a setup. It could have been planned. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there.
I mean, that's what you got to create the problem to fix the problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just good showmanship.
It's like a little Reichstag action.
Well, you know, that is a comparison we could make.
We may have to disavow that comparison. And we don't accept on the Katie Halper Show hyperbolic Nazi comparisons. But it did remind me. Fire.
Sure.
There's that.
I could see how your mind went A to C on that.
But, you know, I don't know if you know this. I think that most people don't know this, but Bernie Sanders protected Andrea Mitchell. He protected her from like a stampede of journalists. And he was very concerned.
Oh God, somebody. Oh my God. Are you okay?
Yes.
All right, you know. Excuse me, please.
He's like, are you right?
You all right?
A whole lot of good that did him because she was so mean to him.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders joining me now. Senator, good to see you. First, congratulations on West Virginia.
Thank you very much.
But at the same time, you come out of there, at least now, by our count, with a 17-17 delegate divide. So you win big, but you still don't catch up. Isn't the bottom line about you versus Hillary Clinton and who would be the stronger candidate that she is now fighting a war on two fronts? She's fighting two big candidates, and you're fighting one.
Oh, really? In every state that we have won, we have had to take on the entire Democratic establishment.
Are you giving him the weapons against her?
In fact, as you well know, there are many areas that I could have attacked Hillary Clinton on that I have chosen not to attack her on. What I have done is run an issue-oriented campaign. That is what the American people want. And by the way, when you have a real debate about real issues, when you get more and more people involved in the political process, it results in a higher voter turnout.
And then people fainted at his rallies. And it's very cute. You see him respond to one. You hear the noise of a guy fainting. And he's like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Another woman fainted.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, there's another case where another woman fainted and he wouldn't continue the speech. He made sure that there was a medic.
One of the arguments is that Bernie can't win. All right. Okay. We need a medic. Somebody fainted. All right, let's get a medic out there. Take a break for a second. We have medics here, doctor, nurses. We have trained personnel here.
We got your back, Bernie.
Okay, let's get some help for that person.
Bernie loves everyone.
All right, let's keep it down for a minute here. Let's get some help there. You okay? Are we all right? Okay. Okay, the person okay? Okay. Okay.
Anyways, very moving.
He's got to start carrying a little necklace with smelling salts in it.
Yeah, that's true.
When people catch the vapors around him, you know?
Anyway, but we think he's a mensch. We don't really get why people hate him so much. We think it's kind of ridiculous. But that's the reality. So here we go. Amy Corrado is a 27-year-old opera singer, musician, former congressional intern, law school grad, track and field Florida state champion, and former UNESCO ambassador, currently studying for the bar. This is an interview I did with Amy in October 2018. Really excited to be talking to Amy Corrado, who made headlines when she revealed that she had been saved by Bernie Sanders. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so it was kind of a crazy story, just because it was so unexpected. It was just a regular Wednesday night for me. I got out of law classes and was heading to my guitar lesson on Music on the Hill here in D.C. And I was crossing the street, and I think I actually just passed Bernie Sanders for a second. I was going through the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of noticed him almost immediately and kind of did a quick turnaround, like while crossing the street at the same time. And he started to implore him to get back on the street. And he's like, "Ma'am, you got to get off the street, ma'am, you got to get off the street." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, are you Bernie Sanders while still dang in the crosswalk during oncoming traffic?" And he's like, "Yes, ma'am, I am Bernie Sanders, but you need to get off the street."
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was actually kind of embarrassing because I didn't immediately get off the street. I was just in awe, and there was definitely cars coming towards me and everything. But I think I was just so enamored
by running into him.
I didn't even.
So, but in a way, you know what the haters are going to say is that, like, it's because of him that you stopped on the street.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, the Bernie blamers. I was still going. Yeah, no, I mean, I was going into the street anyway. So, like, it's a really weird place in D.C. where the street resides because it's, like, in downtown D.C., but towards a more, like, I guess where a lot of houses are. So there aren't, like, any, like, major red lights or, like, it's a crosswalk, but there's not, like, a red light or anything. So, like, it was really, like, something where you have to, like, just be cognizant of where you are going. I was going in that direction anyway, and I just turned around to watch Bernie or Senator Sanders, but I was still headed in the middle of oncoming traffic, you know?
And I saw this, people found out about this because you put on Facebook, on Instagram?
Facebook,
right.
I mean, I think it's kind of an awkward picture of me because like I'm sitting down.
Right.
Yes, and Bernie is like, I think he's 6 foot, even though there's some kind of debate on the post regarding that. But it's a bit of an awkward photo of me, but I just decided to post it on my Facebook. I was like, I mean, like I got.
Oh, are you kidding? Who would not do that? I mean, that would be fun. You could always Photoshop, but I'm kidding. You can make yourself look higher up, but I'm totally joking. But you tweeted at 6:14 p.m., October 3rd, "Bernie Sanders, I kid you not, stopped me from getting hit by a car on my way to my guitar lesson. So we took a selfie together." And then you write in parentheses, "He is also much taller than me. So awkward picture." It's a very cute picture. So tell us how you got that. And by the way, I heard about this when a friend of mine and a fellow Bernie bro, feminist Bernie bro, posted the link to that and wrote hero. And I told her I was having you on. And by the way, she thinks both of you are heroes, which is cute.
Oh.
So he yells at you to get out of the way. And then what happens?
So after, I guess, a few seconds had gone by and I started to come towards him because he kept talking to me to try to get me back off the street. So by the time I came over, it all actually happened really fast. I don't remember verbatim what we said to each other because I was a little bit in shock. But I did tell him that I was a huge admirer of him. And I was actually in the middle of beginning to ask him for a picture. And I think he already knew where I was going with it. And he was like, "Well, we're going to take a picture. We're going to have to do this really fast," before I could even finish my sentence. So we just took a picture together. And there had already been like a crowd of people beginning to form, I guess, because you know, just between him like yelling at me to get off the street and the few seconds it took, and now we're taking a picture. So as soon as we finished taking the picture, he literally just like bolted to the Senate.
Right. That's amazing. There's that great photo of him like running for a train too. So did he yell at you? Did he shout? You know, I tweeted this when I saw that. I tweeted, Bernie Sanders stopped a young woman from getting hit by a car because he's a misogynist with a savior complex who infantilizes, disempowers, and is threatened by independent women. Male allies empower women by giving them the freedom to get hit by cars. Obviously being sarcastic. But I feel like that's not even that. In the past, I've done like, I've joked about something. And then... Like, I've seen someone actually seriously write it. Like, Jen Kirkman, this comedian who's kind of lost it and thinks that Bernie Sanders is a Russian agent, tweeted something like when he thanked Hillary Clinton, he was like, we need her in the resistance. She said something like, don't tell women what to do. And it was, or something. And it was funny because I had tweeted that sarcastically. Did he yell or shout or wag his finger?
He wasn't condescending about it at all. I think he just looked very concerned.
Of course. He's so avuncular. He's such a grandfather. Yeah.
He just looked very concerned that I was out in the middle of the street.
And you were sitting down because you use a wheelchair.
Yes, I use a wheelchair. When I was in high school, it's actually an interesting story. When I was in high school, I was like 17 years old and I started taking voice lessons, but because I was very interested in pursuing opera as a career.
Right.
But I didn't have a car at the time. I lived in Florida, and the only place I could get voice lessons was like 3 miles away. So I ended wheeling to my voice lesson. So it was like 6 miles total. Whoa. There and back. I know it was crazy, but I was determined to become a singer, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So on my way there, it would be after school, like I would just wait after school for a few hours. And then I would head over like when it was time for me to go to my lesson. And one of the track coaches saw me wheeling really, really fast, like down the highway. And he stopped me at school the next day. He's like, I saw you on the highway. What's going on? I was like, oh, yeah, wow. I just wait after school to burn some time. And then I go to my voice lesson. He basically made a deal with me that if I agreed with him to join the track team, to be a part of the adapted track team, which was only me, no one else,
right.
Then he would drive me my voice lesson after practice.
Wow.
So that's the agreement. So I ended up becoming a high school athlete, which was crazy. And I ended up, I think, winning the Florida State Championship. I ended up going all the way up there and winning it, which was incredible. But had no interest in sports.
That is so funny. You're so humble. You're like, I think I wound up winning a what? Florida State Championship, you said?
Yes, Florida State Championship.
That's really cool. So you weren't interested. Okay. Which was more strenuous? The track team or the trip that you then stopped making when the coach drove you to the singing lessons?
I would definitely see the track team because I remember when I would like wheel to the track to my voice lessons. You know, I'd have my music in. It was very, very chill.
Right.
Even though I'm going fast, I'm just kind of being able to do whatever I want. But then in track, you know, they're telling me I did these short distances where you have to go as fast as possible in short distances. And they ended up tearing up my hands really hardcore. We'd wrap them every single time. But I would go so fast, it would tear through my wrapping and I would just have blisters. I'd be bleeding at the end of it.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Didn't enjoy it.
You couldn't wear gloves, or was that even with gloves, you would get blisters?
Yeah. So I don't really like gloves because I feel like they're thick and I can't get the same grasp as I'm holding onto the chair. So that's why we'd wrap it, because I feel like I could still get the right friction when I grabbed the tire. So yeah, I don't like gloves.
You said you were the only person who was doing the adaptive sports?
Like, yeah,
this wasn't a team of adaptive sports?
No. So what I would do is I would train with regular track runners. So I'd be like on the track team at my high school.
Right.
And every day during track practice, I would run with everybody else. I was the only person in a wheelchair. Or used a wheelchair on the team, but I would just do all the same exercises as everyone else. And then when we got to competitions, that would be my chance to compete against other people, I guess similar people in similar situations where they were the only people on their track team,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Also, I found out, just looking at you, you're a UNESCO...
I think it says ambassador was my title, but it sounds way more fancy than it actually was. I was just an intern at UNESCO.
But they named
I've always really loved international politics and international relations, and now international law. So I did Model UN and college was really got me into all that. And then I ended up doing an internship with UNESCO.
And do you still do sports?
No, I pretty much gave up track right after high school because it, like I said, it just, it killed my hand.
Yeah.
I was bleeding all the time and it was just so painful. I didn't feel like it was worth it. I feel like I wasn't getting as much out of it as I wanted to, even though I think I was even invited to like Junior Olympics. Like I did definitely get some like success out of it, but it just, it wasn't my life path. You know, I think, you know, you can be good at things, but as long if it doesn't make you happy, I don't think that's where you should be at the end of the day. So I did give up that, but I do try to keep in shape. I swim a lot. I do a bunch of sit-ups. I do just try to stay as active as possible.
Right.
And I still do, I guess, run / wheel around DC. I think my entire neighborhood has seen me going like a million miles per hour with headphones in my ears trying to work out. So,
oh, be careful though. Not to,
right?
It's coming back to the traffic thing, right?
Yeah, I have to be careful, right?
And how old are you, by the way, if I may ask?
I'm 26 years old.
Okay. A youngin.
You
are a law student and you also were an intern at for Congress. And you are also a musician.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm currently a 3L at the University District of Columbia School of Law, UDC Law. And I'm actually finishing. I'm a 3L, but I'm graduating early this semester.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I was on my way to my guitar lesson at Music on the Hill when I actually ran into Bernie. Before I went to law school, I was actually pursuing a career in opera.
Wow.
And then I realized that I was very... Thank you. Thank you so much. I loved it. I love music. And I realized that I had a very big interest in eventually pursuing politics and then also law. So I ended up going to law school, but I still pursue opera on the side. I perform in a lot of opera musical theater in the DC area. And I also am a banjo player and have just recently taken up the guitar. But I did work on the Hill in the House of Representatives about 2 summers ago. And I wanted to meet Bernie the entire time. I actually had a list of people that I wanted to talk to and get their advice on, whether that was like future career or politics or just interesting questions that I wanted to know from them. And Bernie was on that list. I almost met every person that I wanted to talk to except for Bernie.
That's so funny.
So it was crazy. I ran into Senator Sanders on the side of
That is really funny. You're like, I need feedback. So I'm going to talk to my parents, my college professor, and Bernie. I got to get Bernie on the phone.
Yeah. Right.
Actually, it's really funny because I was seeing on your Facebook page, because I added Amy on Facebook, that you're in trial by jury, which is like, what a funny combination, a perfect combination of both of your interests, right? Of singing and the law. It's a Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah, it's a Gilbert and Sullivan play. So therefore our operetta. So therefore it's kind of already a little wacky,
right?
But it does revolve around a courtroom scene and a breach of a promise or marriage. So there's some law jokes, and then there's some opera, and there's some Gilbert and Sullivan wackiness going on. So it's a really interesting marriage between my love for music and law that was taking place.
Yeah, that's really funny. Do you know Iolanthe? I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's spelled I-O-L-A-N-T-H-E. It's a Gilbert and Sullivan. And what's really funny is that, speaking of the law and music, well, I don't know if you've heard this, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Rehnquist used to go to the, before he died, former Supreme Court judge, used to go to the opera together. But this is really funny because Rehnquist used to wear a robe with gold stripes on the shoulder. Rehnquist was a Gilbert and Sullivan fan and was inspired by the costume of Lord Chancellor in a production of Iolanthe to add 4 golden stripes to the sleeves of his judicial robes.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. And I did hear a little bit about that. I saw Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg speak actually at a synagogue down the street from where I live. And she mentioned her love for opera and my heart just like sank.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And what made you like Bernie Sanders?
Well, I ended up working for the Florida Democratic Party when Senator Sanders was still actually a candidate for the presidency. So that's kind of a bit of my background with him. And then in addition to that, I like a lot of the different ideals that he stands for. I specifically really love his fight for women's rights, advocacy for women's issues, and then also for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, yeah. And where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. So I grew up there, but I ended up moving at the end of high school to Tampa, Florida.
Oh, nice.
And I mostly identify as a Floridian. I have ambitions to one day run for politics, and I think I would love to do that in Florida because I love Florida.
Oh, cool.
My entire heart and soul.
And the nice cigar rolling in Tampa, right?
Yes, yes, there are. So I've heard. Nashville's a great city. I've been there multiple times, but I think in places that I want to live, I was aiming for something a little bit different for Nashville. I've always wanted to live in D.C. I'm very excited to be here. But I do like some country music, especially now that I play the banjo. I've been trying to get into a lot of country, bluegrass, folk, you know?
Great. Awesome. So where can people find you in terms of social media, or where can people follow what you're up to?
My Twitter is actually just A Curato, A-C-U-R-R-O-T-T-O.
Great. Well, yeah, definitely keep in touch and want to hear about what you're up to next. You really are quite the Renaissance woman and very active in lots of different areas. So a little too active, but thank you know, if you ask Bernie Sanders. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Okay, well, no, thank you so much. I had a great time talking with you. So yeah. have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Bye, Amy.
Bye.
I've checked back in with Amy Curato, and she is still a Bernie supporter. Of course she is. Why would anyone stop being one? And I asked her what she's up to. She is studying for the bar. She's such an overachiever that when I was asking her what she was up to, she was kind of apologetic, saying she hasn't been performing, isn't up to much now because she's busy studying for the bar exam, though she does have an upcoming performance in March, in a Broadway cabaret where she'll be singing excerpts from the musical Be More Chill. And that's at the Carolwood Players Theater in Tampa. When I asked her about her thoughts on Chris Matthews' comments, she wrote, haha, he obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. Stand by for my interview with Corey Bush. Also an interview with Kate Willett. And of course, support The Katie Halper Show by going to patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. And also rate and review the show on iTunes. Thanks so much. Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.